Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva, and you can follow the Rams Wire on Twitter at the Rams Wire. Be sure to check us out on Facebook as well, and always stay locked into the ramswire.usatoday.com. Got a lot of catching up to do with the offseason in full swing. Franchise tags have been handed out. Free agency is right around the corner. The Rams are already making moves as far as cutting players. We'll talk about some guys who stood out at the combine, some of the best free agents available when free agency does begin next week, and some other potential cap casualties for the Rams and players who they could move on from in order to free up some cap space. So we'll get right into it, talk about the latest news that happened on Tuesday. It was a busy day for the Rams. It was reported that Mark Barron was released. The team has yet to confirm that. They might do that soon. But that seems like it's going to be a move that the Rams are making. They're releasing him in order to save $3.3 million. He was due to make $9.67 million in 2019, so they are saving a significant amount of money. And moving on from a player who has been hurt in the past couple of years, he had everything from a thumb injury to an Achilles injury. He had several ailments that kind of held him back, and it got him off to a slow start in the 2018 season. Really didn't hit his stride until late in the year and then into the playoffs. And even though he did play well in the postseason, I don't think that's enough to really land him a huge contract with another team. And obviously the Rams don't feel strongly enough to pay him $9.7 million almost in order to keep him around for 2019. So they're moving on from him. Fortunately, there are a ton of free agent linebackers available. You're talking about C.J. Mosley, Denzel Perryman, Anthony Barr. I mean, there's a ton of guys who are going to be available next week, and they would all be upgrades over Barron, who isn't great against the run. He did step up, like I said, in the postseason, but really he struggled in the past couple of years, and this was kind of a long time coming, and something that I personally expected to happen, even going back to last year, looking at the cap situation. And it really doesn't come as much of a surprise right now with the timing of it all and him being due a $3 million roster bonus, I think on the 15th. So not a surprise to see the Rams move on from Barron. They do have a possible replacement in-house with Micah Kizer, who they took in the 5th round last year. Really stood out in the preseason, didn't get much playing time at all in the regular season. I'm not even sure if he played more than 5 snaps on defense. But he's definitely an option to replace Barron. He's really good against the run, does have physical limitations as far as athleticism and speed. But that's why you have Corey Littleton to kind of be that coverage linebacker in the middle of the field and allow Kizer to be that run defender who can step up, take on blocks, and really stop the run, which is one of the Rams' biggest weaknesses last year and even going back to the year before. Ramiq Wilson is also a free agent. I guess the Rams could bring him back. You're also looking at Bryce Hager, who I don't think is good enough to be a starter, but he's also going to be a free agent, so that's someone the Rams could re-sign and kind of plug in as a temporary hold for Barron until they can either draft someone or find a better option later in free agency. But I think Kizer is definitely a guy who you want to give the opportunity to win that job. You took him in the 5th round last year. Obviously, that's not a high-value draft pick, but it is someone that you want to see eventually, whether he can have an impact on your defense. Another player who was released, not necessarily released, but the Rams declined to pick up the option for John Sullivan. They're going to save his $6.25 million salary and cap hit, and then they're going to get another $1 million cap credit, according to Vincent Bonsignor of The Athletic. So that's a savings of $7.25 million. Couple that with the $6.3 million that the Rams saved with by releasing Mark Barron, and you got $13.5 million about that you just cleared up. So that's good news for the Rams, who are a bit cap strapped right now. That brings them up to somewhere around $35, $36 million in cap space, according to overthecap.com. The replacement for Sullivan is fairly more obvious. You got Brian Allen, who you took in the fourth round last year. Rams feel good about him. He played about 30-something snaps last year, just kind of in spot duty and in blowouts, and when Sullivan needed kind of to come to the sideline if he had a minor injury. But he's someone the Rams think highly of. They're obviously confident in his abilities, and they took him in the fourth round, which I thought was a bit rich for his talent. But while he's not the biggest or most athletic center in the league, he definitely packs a punch, and he likes to finish blocks and put guys on their backs. And he's a tough guy in the middle of the line, which you need from a center. Another option is Austin Blythe, who is currently playing right guard. I suppose the Rams could move him to center, try to find a new right guard. But the issue with that is if Roger Saffold leaves, that forces you to replace two players at guard. You could potentially move Joseph Noteboom to left guard if Saffold does leave, and then you're left looking for one starter at right guard if Blythe moves to center. But I would kind of prefer to get Brian Allen on the field, let him replace Sullivan. Then if Saffold leaves, you have Noteboom to step in, and then you can keep Blythe at right guard. That's potentially what the Rams are looking at right now. If Saffold does leave, that's going to be a huge loss for them. Even though he is 30, he is going to get a big contract in free agency. Guards are simply more valued nowadays than they were in the past, and it's possible he's going to be up there around $10 million, $11 million per year, even maybe more than that. He's going to be a high priority for the Rams, but with as little cap space as they do have right now, pending other cap casualties and other ways to free up cap space like restructuring and potentially trading away players, they're not going to have a ton of money to spend. And with so many free agents set to hit the market, it's going to be difficult for them to retain all of them. A guy who could potentially replace John Sullivan at center is Garrett Bradbury. He's a center out of North Carolina State. He's pretty much a lock to be one of the first offensive linemen drafted this year. I don't know if he's going to reach the Rams at 31. Some are mocking him kind of in the middle of the first round now, 15, 16, 17, around that range. I don't think the Rams are going to trade up for a center. I think that'd be a foolish move. But if he were to fall to 31 and they haven't already found a replacement for Sullivan, he's a guy I would look at as a possible replacement for the veteran at center. Just an idea. Not saying the Rams are going to go that route. Center is kind of an easy position to replace for the most part, and they obviously feel that way by releasing Sullivan and moving on from him. But there are definitely going to be options out there, and the most immediate one is Brian Allen, who they took last year in the fourth round. Speaking of pending free agents for the Rams, they have obviously the four big ones in Sue, Saffold, Joyner, and Fowler. Les Snead said at the combine that most likely all of them are going to hit the free agent market. They're not going to be able to come to terms on an agreement before then. So the Rams are looking at possibly losing all four of those guys. Sue, I would say, is probably among the most likely to leave. He signed that $14 million deal last year for one season. Kind of seemed like a let's go all in and just give this a shot and see what happens for 1 year. But after seeing how he played in the regular season, was kind of disappointing. Obviously, he played well in the postseason, but I don't know if you're going to be willing to bring him back for 1, 2, 3 years at around, say, $10, $11 million, possibly more than that. The Rams are, like I said, a bit cap-strapped right now. They're going to have to make some moves to free up some money. But I wouldn't say Sue is at the top of that priority list. I already talked about Saffold a little bit. I think he's hopefully going to be one of the top guys that the Rams are going to try to retain. I think Joyner is pretty much as good as gone. He really kind of fell off last season and didn't have a great year on the franchise tag. So I think the Rams are going to look elsewhere, especially with such a strong safety class in the draft. And then there are a ton of options in free agency. Earl Thomas, HaHa Clinton Dix, Adrian Amos, Landon Collins, Trey Boston. I mean, the list goes on. And even if you want to include Tyrann Mathieu, who's kind of a mix of a cornerback and safety, there's no shortage of talent as far as the safeties go in free agency and the draft. So I would expect the Rams to probably let him go. They gave him almost 13, 12, $13 million last year, or 11.3 million, excuse me, last year on the franchise tag. I don't see them giving him that kind of money on a long-term deal. So he's going to test the market and probably sign somewhere else, unless his market really just is so weak and the Rams miss out on all these other free agent safeties and don't feel comfortable addressing the position in the draft. He's probably going to be playing elsewhere next season. And then there's Dante Fowler, who's one of the most interesting guys for the Rams. We saw all the franchise tags be handed out. D Ford, DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, Jadeveon Clowney. So there was no shortage of interest in obviously those players from their current teams and the Texans, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks all want to be able to keep those pass rushers, which doesn't necessarily help the Rams in any regard because the fewer pass rushers that are out there, I mean, the more interest Fowler is going to have, the more interest guys like Trey Flowers and Za'Darius Smith are going to have on the open market, which makes it more difficult for the Rams to not only sign Fowler, but these other free agents who are out there. So the franchise tag, even though the Rams didn't use it on Tuesday by the deadline, it definitely didn't help their cause as far as pass rushers go. And you could even loop Grady Jarrett in there, who's a defensive tackle, a really good one. I don't think he's going to have any impact on his inavailability is going to have any impact on Sue. But interior rushers and these interior defenders, they're getting more and more value in the NFL today because it's so difficult to stop them on the inside. Whereas on the outside, you can chip pass rushers with tight ends and running backs and things like that. So Fowler is definitely someone that the Rams have shown interest in bringing back. That was made obvious by Snead and Sean McVay at the combine, saying that he's definitely someone on their radar. McVay really complimented him heavily and saying how much he loves his game and his work ethic and loved being around him. But it remains to be seen what his price tag is going to be. If it's anything over 9 million, I would say the Rams are probably going to pass. But depending on what they do with Michael Brockers and a few other players, you never know. And speaking of Brockers, he's among the players who could be cap casualties for the Rams this offseason. We already saw it with Mark Barron, and Sullivan was basically a cap casualty too, with the Rams moving on from him for financial reasons. Brockers could be next. He really wasn't very productive last season, and he has a cap hit of $11 million in 2019. If the Rams do cut him, they'll save $10.25 million on the cap, which is a significant amount. I mean, that would free you up to go out and sign someone like Fowler. It would allow you to possibly pursue someone like CJ Mosley. Obviously, it would leave a hole at defensive end on that 3-4. But you did draft John Franklin Myers last year, who can possibly slot in. You can find guys in free agency who are cheaper than the $11 million cap hit that Brockers is going to have next season, which definitely makes him among the players who could be cut this offseason. At the very least, I would expect the Rams to approach him and try to restructure his contract and get that cap number down. But he's certainly someone who's going to be among the players who could be released this offseason. Aqib Talib save 8 million by cutting him. Tyler Higbee, 2 million for cutting him. I don't really expect either of them to go. Higbee, the Rams reportedly tried to trade last year wanting a sixth round pick for him. You could see a team come in and offer a late rounder for him this year, but I don't really see the Rams cutting him to just free up $2 million unless there's someone else out there that they feel confident in to play next to Gerald Everett. So I'm going to run through my list of the top 25 free agents available for the Rams. I'm not going to list all of them. I did post it on the Rams Wire, so you can find it there. It's a like I said, it's 25 players, so it is a long list. I'm not going to run through all of them, but I'll just highlight some names who I think the Rams should go after and at least consider signing if the price is right. Granted, some of these players might be out of their price range. I tried to keep it reasonable and have a mix of players who will be affordable and others who are simply guys who would be home run signings in free agency. So at the top of the list, I do have CJ Mosley, the linebacker from the Rams or from the Ravens, excuse me. I would think he's going to be among the top guys who the Rams are going to go after if they do feel like they can get him for a reasonable price. He might get Luke Kuechly money where it's around $12 million per year. I personally wouldn't pay that much, but if it's around $9-10 million, I think the Rams should be all over it. He's a guy who's great against the run. He's outstanding in coverage, and he's still young. So he's someone I would definitely go after if I was the Rams. Anthony Barr, he can play inside and outside in the 3-4 scheme. Kind of keep him in for run defense and on the early downs, and then let him rush the passer on third down in obvious passing situations. Earl Thomas, everyone knows about him. Za'Darius Smith, he's the pass rusher from the Ravens as well. Shaq Barrett from the Broncos, he has experience with Wade Phillips. Preston Smith from the Redskins, another young pass rusher who I think would fit really well in a 3-4. Quan Alexander from the Bucks, a rangy young linebacker who can really cover sideline to sideline. Adrian Amos, I'm not sure if he's going to leave the Bears. Danny Shelton, the Rams got a full taste of in the Super Bowl, who when he really shut down the running game and provided some great defense in the middle of that line for the Patriots. Landon Collins, I don't think he's a great fit in Los Angeles just because you kind of want a true free safety, someone who can patrol the middle of the field and allow John Johnson to play closer to the line of scrimmage, match up with tight ends. Collins is best when he's near the line of scrimmage. He's not great in coverage, so the closer to the line, the better for him. But with that being said, if the price is right, after the Giants let him go, I mean, he's a three-time Pro Bowler and really a stud defensive back and almost won Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago. Definitely someone I would keep my eye on if I was the Rams, depending on the price. Jonathan Hankins, I thought the Rams should have signed last year. They didn't, and he wound up with the Raiders. Didn't really have a tremendous season, but he's a true nose tackle. Henry Anderson kind of broke out with the Jets last year after being traded. Benny Logan, another true nose tackle. Same with Darius Filon and Malcolm Brown. So there are guys out there who can play that true nose tackle position and really step up on that defensive line to replace Dominican Sue if he does leave. Trey Boston and Ha Ha Clinton Dix are two safeties I would look at. Boston's definitely going to be cheaper than Clinton Dix, but I would say both of those are potential targets for the Rams. Like I said, there's a bunch of other players on the list. I'm not going to list them all because it is pretty long, but be sure to check that out on the Rams Wire and find out who I think the Rams should go after in free agency because it is a strong class of players out there for them to pursue. Switching gears a little bit here, going from free agency to another topic that was kind of owning headlines over the weekend and throughout the past week, and that's Todd Gurley's knee. It's something that a lot of Rams fans don't really want to talk about because of the latest reports coming from various reporters around the internet. CBS Sports initially reported that the Rams would consider stem cell treatment for his knee. Sean McVay said he wasn't aware of anything of that nature where the Rams were going to consider doing that to his knee, which is a pretty extensive step in the rehab process. And then Jeff Howe of the Athletic in Boston reported that Gurley has arthritis in his knee. This was the worst news that the Rams probably could have gotten as far as his knee goes. They haven't confirmed it, obviously, but this is not, it's not good for Gurley. He's still so young, and anytime a player has a torn ACL and undergoes that surgery to fix it, there's a chance of arthritis happening. And it makes sense when you think about it. I mean, he had the knee injury, the torn ACL in college. He had that fixed, and it really wasn't an issue in the NFL up until this past season. And after seeing the way that the Rams used him down the stretch, he missed those last two games of the regular season, barely played in the last three in the postseason. They were clearly trying to manage his workload, and it wasn't necessarily any single injury that he had, but Snead and McVay said it was kind of just wear and tear, and the effect of such a long season and what he endured carrying the ball more than any other player the last two seasons, and really had more touches than anyone in the league since 2015. So, I mean, arthritis isn't something that you can necessarily cure. It's not something that's exactly going to get better over time. But it's just not a great situation where you have to worry about what he's going to be able to do for the next 4 or 5 years that he's under contract until 2023. The Rams just signed him to an extension last year, 4 years, $57.5 million with around $45 million guaranteed. That's a huge contract, and it really reset the running back market. And the Rams were trying to get out in front of Le'Veon Bell and Zeke Elliott and some of these other top running backs signing contract extensions, but they ran the risk of him possibly getting injured or something happening, which now, if you look at the situation, it doesn't look great. One doctor talking to The Athletic said that Gurley's best years are behind him. And while he's not necessarily going to have his career end right now, he probably has peaked, and he's not going to be able to handle that heavy workload that he has in the past couple of years. When you pay a running back around $14 million per year, that's not something you want to hear because he's someone that you want to use as much as possible and really get the most out of because he is such an important part of the offense. And now to hear that he's not going to be able to handle a heavy workload, maybe have to limit his touches to 15 per game, that's not an ideal situation for any star running back, let alone one that you're paying $14 million per year in the future. So that's not a great situation. It does kind of make this running back position even a bigger priority for the Rams. CJ Anderson's a free agent. Malcolm Brown is a free agent. So you're going to have to address the position at some point because I don't think you can go into the 2019 season with Gurley and John Kelly as his backup. I just don't think you've seen enough of I don't think you've seen enough of Kelly and Justin Davis to feel good enough about them being Gurley's primary backup. Maybe you bring back Anderson to kind of share the workload the way they did in the postseason. I still don't think that's a great approach because Gurley is such a he's so good because he rips off these long runs, and if you only give him 10 carries a game, he doesn't have as many opportunities to create those big plays, which are such a huge part of the offense. Maybe you look at TJ Yeldon in free agency. Maybe it's as simple as bringing back Malcolm Brown. Whatever the Rams do, they know they're going to have to address the backup running back position because you can't feel great about where they stand with Gurley having this possible arthritis in his knee and what that's going to mean for his future with the Rams. He could kind of just wear down in the next couple of years and have to retire. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but with arthritis, it really never gets better, and it's just a constant pain and an issue for players who do have it. Again, I'm not saying Gurley's career is over or anything to that effect, but you do have to worry about how long he's going to be able to sustain the success and really be a top running back in the league now that if he does have arthritis in his knee. And then finally, just going to run through, obviously the combine was this past week, so I'm going to run through some players who I thought stood out and could be potential targets for the Rams in the draft. Again, I posted this on Rams Wire, so you can follow the full list with analysis of each player as well. But I really liked what I saw from a few safeties: Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of Florida, Juan Thornhill, Amani Hooker. Those are three guys who I would consider taking in the first round, and really for Amani Hooker, if you trade back into the second round from the 31st overall pick. Fall back a little bit, take him. He can really play anywhere in the secondary as far as he can come down into the slot. He can play free safety. He can play strong safety. All three of those guys really had strong performances in the combine, and I would say they should be among the targets for the Rams when the draft does come around. Brian Burns out of Florida State, he's a pass rusher. Really came in almost 15 pounds heavier than many expected. Not in a bad way either, because he was able to bulk up and really still sustain that explosiveness and that speed that made him a dangerous pass rusher with the Seminoles. So he's someone who I don't think is probably going to reach the Rams at 31 anymore. If he does, I would imagine that he's going to be among their top targets in the first round. Isaiah Johnson, Dexter Lawrence. Johnson is a cornerback. Tall, he's at 6'2", had some great times in the agility drills, like the three cone and the short shuttle. Dexter Lawrence unfortunately suffered a quad strain. It's not believed to be anything really serious. He did run a 5.05 in the 40, which is an outstanding time for a player of his size at 342 pounds. Gary Johnson's an athletic linebacker, ran well in the 40 and looked good in drills as well. Chris Lidstrom and Garrett Bradbury, two offensive linemen who, if the Rams l do lose, obviously they've already lost Sullivan, so Bradbury is a potential candidate to replace him there. But Lidstrom could possibly slide in if they lose Roger Saffold. And then Jerry Tillery, who the Rams met with at the combine, he's a kind of a versatile defensive tackle, defensive end out of Notre Dame. He would kind of provide that flexibility at playing defensive end, could possibly stand up and rush the passer from there, could spell Aaron Donald as that three technique defensive tackle. So a lot of flexibility with him, which is really enticing. But he's someone who I don't know if he's going to reach 31. If he does, again, I would imagine that the Rams are going to think long and hard about drafting him, especially after meeting with him at the combine. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. As always, if you guys have any questions, anything you want to ask me, feel free to reach out on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. Be sure to follow us at the RamsWire. That's where we share all of our articles on Twitter. We also do the same on Facebook. And then, as always, you can check out the ramswire.usatoday.com. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys soon.